money is one of the key energies in our second chakra, and a little bit in the first as well. So it's one thing to say, well, I'm all love and light and chakras and green juice. But if there's areas of us that we're holding shame or anger or just real contraction on, that can actually be literally impacting our health as well.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business and body balance and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So I'm going to share with you kind of a funny story about my interview today. My guest, Amanda Daly, is a health coach and business mentor to women in the health and wellness space. And when we came on to this episode today, I have another interview coming up in a few weeks with another Amanda, and all of the information that I had in front of me and all of the preparation I had done for this interview was in anticipation of this other woman. And so just before we got started with the interview, I asked Amanda for clarity around her last name, and that's when the truth started to all unfold in front of me. And we made the decision that we were going to roll with the interview regardless, and I am so glad that we did. Our conversation today is really around money and wealth consciousness and the energetics of that piece and the self-work involved in order to start to unpack and understand what is required for wealth acquisition in our lives. And I actually don't think that this interview would have quite worked out the same way had it been something that I walked into prepared to speak about. The mere fact that both of us just stepped into our own flow state, that we asked questions from and engaged in questions from a place of total innocence, I think actually speaks to the brilliance of the conversation that we had. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to Amanda Daly. Amanda Daly, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Megan, it's so great to be here.
Well, we have a lot of things to unpack today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation because, interestingly enough, with a lot of my audiences, we've been doing work over the last few weeks around this notion of wealth consciousness. In fact, we have a book club. We were recently talking about this topic. And I know this is a huge part of what you talk about with your clients who are often health and wellness practitioners and health coaches. So, Amanda, give us the lay of the land in terms of who you are, who you work with, and how you got to where you are. And we're going to jump into some great stuff today.
Absolutely. We'd love to. So today I am a business mentor for health and wellness entrepreneurs specifically. And I've been doing that for about the last 7 years. How I got here was through working in online advertising and marketing my entire career, struggling in the last several years of that with very bad stage 3 adrenal fatigue, where I really could not keep up in the, you know, hard, fast-paced corporate world, and was spending every, honestly, like cent I made trying to heal myself, trying to fix myself, because I thought there was something broken with me, right? Like, how am I going to survive and keep my job? And so I kind of had this two-part lifestyle going on for a long time, the hard-paced, all-nighters in the advertising world, and then this healing path where I was learning energy healing, yoga teacher training, etc. Whenever I could. And eventually, I guess, you know, it was getting really bad and I needed to leave, and someone introduced me to health coaching, which just felt like my dream career. So I perhaps naively now, you know, kind of leapt from that job pretty quickly and started my own health coaching business. And yeah, really, you know, I went through the first few years of having no idea what I was doing as a health coach and realized, oh, it's not quite as easy as, you know, putting up a blog like you might see other people do, or Instagram or whatever that might be. And really just worked my way, you know, through it until my health coaching business was really going so well that people were just constantly asking me, can you mentor us? You know, and Can you teach business? For a number of years, I was just so against that because I blamed advertising and marketing for the burnout and thought it was kind of the devil.
It's ironic,
but,
yes.
You know, but I really made peace with that. Clearly, that was my whole world. You know, I had so much knowledge. Ultimately, for me, this work has been about helping women step into their highest wellness, you know, let go of all the old paradigms, not be burning out in their work. So it kind of all dropped into place for me when I realized, oh, this is what I'm going to be teaching through business anyway, the mindset, the reframing of how we work, which is wellness. So once I realized it was all one and the same, yeah, things took off. That was about 2014 when I took that turn and started mentoring in the health and wellness space. And hopefully, therefore, passing on everything I've learned as well to the health coaches who are sharing that broader in the world.
And when you were having success in your business, did you recognize that was a bit of an anomaly within the industry, that you suddenly had found this sort of this ease of what you were doing? Did you know you had a thing going on?
Not at the beginning. So it's a yes and no answer. At the beginning, I found myself in quite a circle bubble, if you like, of entrepreneurs quite quickly, where I lived in Bondi Beach in Australia. And so at first I thought, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, everyone else just seems to have the blog and be doing the same. And, you know, I wasn't getting clients. And I think that's the journey of most people starting out. You know, it looks so easy on the outside and you can't understand why it's not working. So yes, I mean, no at the beginning, but then equally yes, once it clicked in me and once all the pieces landed, which of course is a combination of business practical marketing steps, especially in the online space, but then also all of the inner work that came with that for me, then yeah, I did. It was part of my journey actually, because my business took off very quickly in 1 year, like 10x'd in 1 year. And so I was aware of that. And I did know that that was not normal, because all of a sudden I was racing off ahead, if you like, from a lot of, you know, I had a lot of entrepreneur friends at that time. And that brought its own pieces with it as well.
It often does. And when you, what was that switch? Was it a mindset piece? Was it a tactical change that you made? Was it a combination?
Combination for sure. But I really do feel that the key switch was the wealth consciousness work. And so the year that my business took off, there was 1 year it went from making $35,000 a year to $330,000 in 1 year. And yes, I was actually learning online business in, you know, another online business course. And I had a big online business background, but there was something that year about going through it again and, you know, starting to drop. But that year I worked on my money mindset with a mentor at the time said to me, look, an Olympic athlete doesn't just be born, right, as an Olympic athlete. They get up at 5 a.m. every morning, swim the laps in the cold pool, and they create that success, like literally build the muscle, build the mindset. And she said it's the same for wealth consciousness. And that, yeah, I really did treat working on my money mindset as my number one focus. And I knew it was well beyond business. It was really personal development. I mean, all of this really has been for me, really exploring my money stories, and not just exploring them, but actually being willing to let them go. And all the pain that can come with that too, right? The healing that can come with that. I literally would see working on my mindset, my vibration as my job above the marketing tactics. And I truly believe that was what created the catapult, if you like. But they did have to both be there. And remember, I did know online marketing, so it's like the two came together.
Okay, so and I hear you on that, right? Like it's not like you can do money mindset and then you just wake up and you have this massive business. It's like there's this saying, I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. But I feel like with the money mindset piece, it's almost like it unlocks the potential that you've created with all of that other learning. At least that's been my experience on it. Can you start to break down for people when you talk about working on a money mindset? What does that actually mean? Because I feel like just the concept of money just triggers so many hairs on people's backs to kind of stand up, and it's physiologically irritating to people to start to talk about it. So let's unpack it for them while they're in that state.
It is. Money is one of the most triggering topics, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's many different beliefs. Yeah. I mean, actually, part of being comfortable talking about money is what comes from this. And that, of course, you know, ripple effects out into your business. So, yeah, to start with, I mean, we all grow up with, we don't even see it. We're like in a fishbowl of our own life. So we grow up hearing our parents say things. You know, who knows what it might be? It might be a small comment about the rich bitch next door or, you know, or the, oh, they're rich because they don't have kids or, you know, oh, who knows? You know, money doesn't go on trees with like anger one day. Or the little things that we hear about money tend to have been charged, you know, from our parents or our grandparents. And actually, they also can be in our DNA. Which is a whole kind of, you know, deeper topic on that. So money has always been this kind of fully charged thing. And when you think about it, it can even be used as a weapon. I think most people, if they're really honest, do know that at times in their life, they've used money as a weapon, like saying to someone, oh, I can't afford that. When actually they could, but they didn't want to. You know, it's basically a way of saying, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, many, many things. So money comes tied with, purely because of what we've grown up with, tied with a lot of emotion. And also, it then also becomes tied with our relationships and tied with our identity. So this is a lot of the unraveling that I find, you know, needs to happen. When you go from that, though, to try and make it a little bit more practical, the thing is to observe your stories. So what are the stories? You know, someone might have a story that, we'll just use the basic one, like I have to work really, really hard to make money. And so you believe that even to be worthy of money or the only way to make money, the only way to get ahead is to really burn yourself out. And that can be a story that is actually driving us to work in a certain way. It's actually not what's bringing the money. So when you see that as a story, then I encourage people, and this is what I would be doing, right? In that, yeah, like mining for stories, like literally observing my stories. And then you can question the story because everything our brain tells us is a story, which mm-hmm. means the story is a choice that you can put down and choose another. So, you know, let's say you believe that getting clients is hard, or, you know, making money as a health coach is hard, is what I work with. You can choose to have the opposite. Like, what if I just decided that getting clients was easy? And I just decided that, how would I start acting differently? How would I start being differently? And what I found is that a lot of this work really does come down to the identity of who we believe we are, and or the identity that we think others, you know, kind of put on us. And we can be so scared of how that changing that identity will actually change relationships or, you know, change who we are, that sometimes we just don't want to look at these things. Now, some of them are actually pretty simple. You just turn a belief around and you're off, you know, and next day you're like, oh, I can't believe how easy that was. Other times, some of these stories are really deep. And, you know, I definitely was working with like kinesiologists or energy healing professionals, et cetera, to dissolve some of these old stories.
Do you find that challenging money mindsets, I'm being political here, challenging money mindsets are more pervasive within the wellness industry than other entrepreneurial groups?
I definitely feel that health professionals come with a certain strand of money mindset. And I guess I know this the best because I've worked with 700-800 health and wellness entrepreneurs. And it's a bit like the struggling healer archetype. So there is a particular thread that goes through the wellness industry, which is, well, to be a good person doing this work, I shouldn't be charging. And it's wrapped up with a whole lot of intricacies of what if I don't get results? You know, should I be charging? Which is obviously something in health and wellness you can never guarantee. So I have specialized in health and wellness, so I haven't studied the other areas as closely, but there's definitely a lot of intricacies to this profession that is very, very real and very, I do see most people coming in because they didn't come in necessarily to make money either, did they? Most people have come in because they want to help, they want to see an impact, and they can start to feel selfish or wrong for charging money or guilty. I mean, there's so many different layers to it. And I know it just sounds so kind of woo-woo 101, but money truly is just energy. Mm-hmm. And when we can get that balance right of understanding like that we are giving and that that is worthy and how we receive, it can become a very, you know, beautiful reciprocal relationship with that energy and with our business and how it's having an impact in the world. So to me, you've got to heal this part in you. and if I can just say one more thing that just came to mind, I mean, you know, health and wellness entrepreneurs often say this around money, but from a health perspective, to be whole, we have to heal all parts of us. And money is one of the key energies in our second chakra. I mean, a little bit in the first as well. So it's one thing to say, well, I'm all love and light and chakras and green juice. But if there's areas of us that we're holding shame or anger or just real contraction on, that can actually be literally impacting our health as well.
Yeah, I think it's such a good point, because I do feel, not for all, but there's a significant number of individuals in healing, and it is they block that part. They block that part out. It's like the elephant in the room. We've thrown a blanket over it. We're just not going to talk about the money piece. We're just going to talk about the healing piece. And I agree with you. There's this saying, doctor, heal thyself. Like you really do have to integrate these pieces. And I say this to practitioners when I'm talking to them. I say, listen, if you go to the intake forms of your patients and you look at their primary struggles in life and where their primary sources of stresses are, 80% of the time, finances are the primary thing that is fueling someone's health condition. It's the primary source of consistent stress in their life. And so I think as healers, for us to just sort of shove that in a corner and go, it's inconvenient for me to have to address the money mindset issues, we really are showing up unauthentically for our patients. And I know that that's a bold statement, but I feel like we really do have a responsibility to work towards healing ourselves. I love that you brought that up.
Absolutely. And there's so many layers when you clean this up in yourself too, that you can show up as a better healer or a better coach, whatever that might be. Because what I watch a lot of people do is make the quick assumption that, oh, this person said they didn't work with me because they can't afford it. Well, you know, I'm not pretending that everybody has money. I'm very aware of that. And most people who have got on a call, like let's say a discovery call, exploration call to work with you, were interested and did have a pain point. You know, they've got better things to do in their life than get on the phone. And most of the time when they get on there, they just haven't been convinced that the product is actually going to be a solution for their pain point. So they say they don't have money, or they say they need to talk to their husband or whatever that might be. And it's a really quick like escape route for the person selling the product to then say, oh, it's because I'm too expensive or they can't afford it. And actually, it's kind of lazy. Like your money stories are getting in your way of actually working harder on what needs to happen. If I bring in the masculine, you know, like the marketing, you need to learn how to communicate what they're going to get. And I find that this is where I said before too, that fear of getting results can get in the way and it gets tangled with money. When we clean all of that up, we just don't bring that to the table in conversations, and not even in our original marketing or anything like that. So the cleaner we can be, it just really creates an open channel as well for your clients. And I always say it's not like our responsibility to decide what someone else has in their wallet. You have no idea. And people, sometimes the biggest gift they can do is invest in themselves.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And I share this a lot. I'm like, it is none of your business what other people spend their money on. And your job is simply to share what your value is and how you can help them. If you can't help them, that's a different story. I do feel it is actually really judgmental of us to assume that somebody can't afford us or can't afford us at our best, and we don't align our price to our absolute best. Because working with people one-on-one really is the most expensive way for any of us to deliver our strategy. So I love what you're saying there. And you mentioned just in passing this notion of, you know, the masculine and feminine in business. Can you just speak to the masculine and feminine energies as it pertains to the giving and receiving of money?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mentioned before, you know, the kind of entrepreneurial circle that I was in when I first started out in business, which, you know, I had one foot in the friendship circles in Bondi Beach in Australia, which is very health conscious kind of, you know, green smoothie world, meditating on the beach every morning and that kind of lifestyle. And then I had the circles in the US as well, which I very much resonated with in the online marketing space. I mention this though, because the friends that I would hang out with in Bondi, I noticed the conversations were very different. Obviously, just what I attracted there. And the conversations we were having over, you know, coffee dates and working on our businesses were more around, not competitive, it's not that, but almost like who can lift their vibration the most, or, you know, who is manifesting the most. Like the interest was just more in working with the subtle energy, I think, and the feminine way of growing business. And there is so much on that side that I also found when I really commit to my meditation practice, which is also, you know, tied with the wealth consciousness practice. Really taking care of our bodies, you know, lifts the vibration. Consciously choosing our thoughts, like we talked about, all of those things fall on the feminine side. And it was really interesting for me to watch that people were having equal success, really, on their business, just in different ways. And I was so interested in this because obviously my number one reason for getting into business was nothing to do with money. It was purely, how am I going to survive without burning out? So on the feminine side, we do have some of those things like lifting vibration, lifting your energy, like the frequency of your energy does attract in different things. It also keeps our mind, you know, really open and really calm. Working with our feminine desires, being in our body more than being in our head, meditating and visualizing what we do want, you know, speaking the words of what we do want, a lot of the identity kind of work that I talked about before. These are things that we can do, which are more around receiving. And when I was doing like the year focus on this that I said, I was literally doing things like going to get pedicures and massages to practice my receiving skills. Because as women, we're not actually that good at it for most of us.
I really need to practice my receiving skills too.
You should. It's actually a really thing, because it's like, why would I waste money, you know, getting my toes painted? I don't care about that. It's not a value. It's like, but are you able to just sit there and receive? And I think we can talk about it, but are you actually doing it? And the feminine side is very much about being. It's one thing to talk about it, but can you actually be in that space? Are you okay to slow down? Are you okay? Are you truly okay for someone to give to you, you know, for an hour and a half of kind of serving you? And really, I just keep seeing, even as I'm talking, like this leaning back, not feeling that it's our push and shove that's creating the results. And when we lean back, I mean, we all know what it's like, right? You're in the shower and the best idea drops in, or like that's the feminine energy at play. When you get out of your mind, things just come to you, and you can really cultivate in meditation or just in a quiet space. You can actually cultivate a relationship with your business energy as well, which again, I guess kind of woo-woo. But it is my experience that you can actually impact things happening in your business from an energetic space.
Oh, I totally want to go there. I don't think that's woo-woo at all.
Okay. I never know like which audiences and how far we go.
But go, I mean, go far.
Like one of the practices I do, for example, is, you know, getting myself very grounded and opening up to light coming from the universe, from the sky down through like the central pillar, through my body, and then right down to the earth. And, you know, you kind of picture that, I don't know, 10,000 miles up and 10,000 miles down. And, you know, a lot of people too focus on the whole universe and energy, but the best energy I really believe is coming from the earth. It's very grounded and it's very abundant. So also then that's the receiving, right? Can we receive that energy back up from the earth and allow that to go back up to the universe? And that just kind of gets our light channel going. You know, we can activate our heart, and sometimes that's enough. It's just like, oh gosh, I didn't even realize that's in my head. That's awesome. But a practice that I do to take it another step further is I then often hold or visualize like a ball of light in front of me, which is my business. And depending on how, I don't know, in tune with energy you are, you kind of often feel that. You might have seen it like in a Tai Chi practice or something where you can like feel the energy between your hands. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, really, really simply, I just do that and then I just visualize things that I want are like qualities that I want, or maybe picture, you know, even clients coming in that are for the highest good of that, or that I'm for the highest good of them, team members or different growth channels. And of course, you got to remember you're not really in control of this. So it's more like setting the highest intention of where you want things to go, and then just kind of set and forget, really. You know, setting that energy out there, trusting that at some degree that has, I don't know, I see like a switchboard, like dialed in a few switches of where you want things to be going. And then you just let it go. And there's a great thing in Mike Dooley's book, actually, Leveraging the Universe, where he talks about it's like throwing a baseball to the batter. And we throw the baseball out and that's impacting the energy, you know, as the ball goes. But then we expect the batter just to hit the ball straight back, and it doesn't work that way. So we throw the baseball out, or we do this energy work, and it does set out the, you know, the energy waves and the frequency. And then who knows, someone gives you a phone call the next day and you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. Oh, that's even better than I thought, you know. So we're not really in control, and there's a big trust factor that comes from working that way, whereas working in the masculine is very control based.
Yeah, it's interesting because I find when I'm in that feminine state, it's usually I move into it without really thinking about it. Like I'm sort of in the in a flow, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I hit all of my daily agenda items that I wanted to knock off, and it is amazing the synchronicities that just start to happen. I let myself go to that place. And if for the longest time I was like, oh, it's just a coincidence that when I'm distracted, these things come up. But it's true. The more you work on it, the more you're like, oh, that's the pattern. Like, that's the power of sitting in that side. And there's powers to being in both of those states.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As we started the call today, like, you can't just go sit in a field and meditate. And I mean, maybe, but you know, I don't think that's going to probably build it wouldn't build a business like mine, put it that way. It's definitely...
No, you know, I'm looking for that guest, though. I want to be like, so-and-so sat in a field for 5 years and built a seven-figure business. No, I'm not sure it works that way. And to be honest, you know, when I was younger and the first time I saw the film The Secret, that was one of the things that just I found intuitively frustrating, as I felt like so much of that, and partly maybe been where my understanding was really about, you know, you put this intentionality out into the universe and it just comes back at you. But I have learned, for me at least, I need to put intentionality out into the universe and then do my thing and really stay in my authentic lane, and then the universe provides. But I at least can't stop working or contributing towards the master plan.
And it's really, I mean, there's so much, I feel like we could talk for hours on this. You know, the secret, I think, was early talk on that, and it missed a lot. You know, now we've come so far in understanding this is quantum science and the quantum field. It's not even woo-woo, you know, and I hear myself almost apologizing for that being woo-woo, but it's measured now and it's known that this is fact. And here's the thing, there's a healthy and an unhealthy on masculine and feminine. So on one hand, as women and probably society, I believe we are unraveling and dismantling a lot of our unhealthy masculine things. So believing that we have to burn out is not true. You know, our bodies are supposed to be highly fueled to be in the lighter energies and the feminine energies, and that is going to continue to be fact. And that's the unhealthy masculine that we are dismantling, just as there's an unhealthy feminine that, you know, doesn't get talked about. So I think that kind of healthy feminine has become popular, you know, in the last few years. Mm-hmm. But what we don't talk about a lot is the healthy masculine. And to me, this has really been the edge where it's come together a lot. Discipline, self-discipline. You know, I mean, for example, even that feminine work we talk about, it takes self-discipline to get up every day when we don't feel like meditating because our brain's already off on emails or whatever that might be. And to cultivate a practice. Really, things that I've worked through are like time management, learning how to focus, you know, learning how to get a clearer mind. And I continue to work on these. They're actually healthier aspects of masculine, and you can't have one without the other. So I think it, as much as I love talking about the feminine, because we need to learn to work that way, we actually need to have the relationship of both in a healthy state.
Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Fullscript. Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products, has features like refill reminders and auto reorder, and even sends medically reviewed wellness content to patients on your behalf. I've been using Fullscript in my practice for years, so I have firsthand knowledge of the impact it can have on your patients and your business. First of all, it's super simple to use and loaded with features. Features like EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel, well, integrated. It incorporates itself into your way of working, with your approach to wellness, even as that evolves, and, most importantly, with your patients' day-to-day lives. As someone wanting to address patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. And if you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Tell them I sent you. 100%. I love that piece. And I feel like, Amanda, this is a perfect place to transition the interview. So we have a segment that that I call our KPIs. So just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe we also have them in how we live our life as well. So if you are okay, I've got some rapid fire questions coming your way.
Okay, let's see how we get.
What is the most impactful book you have read during the pandemic lockdown?
Oh, I hate to be kind of cliche, but I am very into the Glennon Doyle Untamed right now.
It's great. I feel like the pandemic is going to be synonymous with Untamed.
I think
whether
so.
Whether she liked it or not, it was just the way the universe brought it all together for her. I agree with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. What is one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
My breathing practice, no matter what, is game changing.
Love it. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Badass. I mean, my business has been at a 7-figure level for many years now, and I did that quite quickly. So, you know, we're always hard on ourselves, but I think that's what many people look at me and think that's pretty badass.
I think it's badass that you have that and you have a Bondi Beach lifestyle like that. That's pretty awesome. Amanda, what do you do for fun or play?
Oh, I'll tell you what we've been doing lately is lots of online games with friends. I'm sure that's going to change when we get out of this lockdown, but we're right into the games nights and quiz nights with friends on Zoom. And it's so fun because we're actually from another country. So we're actually spending more time with our, friends from New Zealand, et cetera. And I'm loving it.
That's amazing. I know, it's funny because it's enabling us to unpack relationships in a totally new way. And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, you know, I've thought about this a lot. I never would have thought myself being an entrepreneur. I didn't see that as my identity. And then I realized my mum did actually grow up with a hair salon for her whole life. So maybe I was in it and didn't realize. But not a straightforward answer for you there, but I believe anything that we truly want to learn, we have the capability of learning.
Fantastic. Amanda Daly, this has been such a pleasure. Where can we send people to learn more about the work you're putting into the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I did set up a page on my website for you. So it is amandajdaly.com/anthropology.
Fantastic. Amanda, thank you. We will make sure we throw that into the show notes. It's been such a pleasure hanging out with you today.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our badass book club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned Fullscript. Remember, Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription with Fullscript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient for everyone involved. The most incredible part, though, is that it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners. Actually, while we're on the subject, every account has the ability to adjust profit margins or even choose a no-profit option. This gives you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Remember, tell them I sent you.